Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the hottest internet radio show and podcast, The Author's Lab, a place for the eclectic and lively discussion of the dynamic world of writing, publishing, and marketing of the written word. I'm your host, Robert Batista. Follow me on Twitter by going to @AuthorRBatista and make it a point to follow The Author's Lab on Blog Talk Radio. Just click the follow button on our page. Today, we are proud to have as our guest, Carolyn Smith, author of the inspiring memoir, Living in Bondage, My Story of How God Set Me Free. Carolyn, welcome to the Author's Lab.
Hello, hello. Thank you. Thank you for that introduction. Glad to be on with you, Robert, today.
Oh, yes. I've been waiting for this show for a while. Carolyn, let's start Carolyn, let's start off with you describing your life before you wrote your book. Who was Carolyn Smith before she became an author?
Oh, Carolyn Smith was someone that was, I believe so strongly in God, but I got off on the wrong track, okay? That's one of the things that made me who I am today. Even though what I went through, I still believed in God. And also, I was a person that I was a go-getter, but I would also let things that was unimportant attract my attention. So this is how I fell off in the situation that I did. Loving person. I love helping other people as well. So I'm just inspired to be who I am today, where God has brought me. After all I went through and after all he brought me out of, I am standing on a solid ground today. And I thank him for that.
At what point in your life did you decide to write Living in Bondage? Was there any one incident or catalyst that caused you to write this story, or had it been germinating in your mind for a period of time?
Yes, I started many years ago writing it, and I never finished. Matter of fact, I gave my sister-in-law some bits and pieces of what I had started writing, but I never finished up until 2016. I started writing again. I was telling my story to a girlfriend of mine, which is Mona Moore, dynamite gospel singer and playwright. And she was listening to my story, and she told me, "You need to write a book." And she told me, she said, "If you write that book, God would bless that book." So she kind of not stayed on me, but she kind of encouraged me throughout the time period that she told me that to write the book. I started writing. I took her at her word, you know, and started writing the book. So I was encouraged. I was encouraged. And then during the process of writing this book, my sister-in-law, Iris Nelson, gave me some writing where I had wrote a period of time years ago that I had given her. She gave it to me, and she didn't know I was writing a book when she gave it to me. So that was confirmation right there, telling me that I need to write this book. Somebody needs to hear my story, because people are going through things, and living in bondage, how God set me free, that can help. That can give them hope, faith. And what God does for me, they can do. He can do it also for them.
On your book's Amazon page, you write, "As a Christian, I was in bondage due to drug addiction, particularly crack cocaine. It seems for a time you are living a double life. Is this true?
Absolutely. That's true. I was living a double life. The saying is you can't serve two masters. That's true. I was one day I would be running for Jesus. The next day I was doing my thing with Satan. So that right there kind of threw me on an unbalanced life, you know. And Satan was able to move in fully and forcible to work on me full time. So that's something Christians want to be aware of, is that you got to stand. If you're standing for the Lord, you got to stand 100% and not 50%, because Satan is looking for people that are serving God. He's not messing with the people that's out in the world, because he already got them. So that's how he trapped me, because I was living on shaky ground, you know. I was a sometime Christian.
Carolyn, there are so many reasons why people get addicted to drugs. Looking back, why do you think this happened to you?
Around the wrong people, doing things in places, and I was in places that I shouldn't have been in, and around people that, hey, the only thing they have going for themselves is this type of life. And when you mingle with these type of people, this is what happens. You get weak and over-controlled by the ways of the world. And the ways of the world is Satan's way, and his ways are tricky. So this is what happened to me. He knew how to really fully capture me, and that was by giving me drugs. And being around people that use drugs is, you know, was real bad for me, you know. If you say you're a Christian and you're around people for drugs and you can't counsel them or minister to them, you don't need to be in that place. And that's where I was, indulging with them. So that's how I got started.
So how did your addiction affect your relationships, your marriage, your children, your family?
Well, it affected them, and they was so worried about me. My kid's life to me was off balance, but God is so good. He had people in my life that loved me and loved my kids, was there for my kids until I didn't have to pull my kids into this situation. I didn't have to let them be affected to what was going on with me, because they were in my parents. I had a good babysitter and sisters and friends that helped take care of them until they were young. I had one daughter that was old enough, but she had loved ones that really took care. They didn't take the place of mama, but the support they gave her, that helped her. So it didn't affect her so bad, because right now she's HPD sergeant and she is doing good, and all of them are doing good. You know, I have one son that's incarcerated, but I don't think my drug use have anything to do with where he is today. So it did really affect him bad because of the love from others that was poured out to me too, and they helped take care of my kids. My parents,
you know, Carol, go ahead.
I'm sorry. My parents, they're both deceased now, but they were able to save me, get myself together. And I think they was affected more than anyone, because those are my parents. And what
right.
your child is out there in the world like that, you know, you don't have no easy, you know, easy life. Just sit back. Knowing that she out there, knowing that I'm out there, and I know they was worried, but thank God, before they left here, they saw me get it together. That was important.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, that's so important. You know,
yes.
Carolyn, memoirs are often cathartic, excuse me, but they could also be agonizing in that we relive the painful experiences we went through. Was there a lot of pain in writing your book?
No. I had joy writing my book because just looking back, talking about what I went through, that gave me so much peace and pleasure in my home as I wrote, because just knowing God brought me out of this. It's a lot of people didn't make it out of this. It's a lot of people in the penitentiary. You got a lot of people crazy. You got a lot of people dead. But I made it out, and I was able to write about it. That gave me joy just sitting here writing about it. I shed tears of joy. Those tears I shed was nothing but joy behind them because of the separate reasons. That let me know my God loved me. He favored me, and he's good to me. He brought me out, and here I am today writing about it. So I had plenty, plenty, plenty good days writing.
Carolyn, you have graciously agreed to read a portion of your book for us. Can you do this now and set up the piece before you read it?
I sure can. I was pronounced dead twice in the same night from crack cocaine. As a believer, I recognize that dying twice on May 3rd, 1991 was a process of growth. It was a conviction from the Lord that led to a deep examination for me as a believer. As I classified myself as a child of God, I kept committing sins, and I knew better. I was disobedient to God's word, so the Lord prepared me for an experience with death. The devil was trying to kill me. I had several seizures that night. The doctor said, three seizures, you are dead, or either have brain damage. Additionally to all of that, I had a heart attack. My liver and kidneys stopped functioning. The doctor said my entire body was filled over 100% with cocaine, and the condition of my body was in a terrible way. Even they said I would live off a dialysis machine the rest of my life, but the Lord said no. The doctors were so amazed at my progress, but God is a healer. He laid his hands on me, and I no longer needed to live off a dialysis machine. I almost died in a foolish way that could have led me straight to hell. But God is the reason that I am here today. I have never experienced greater excitement than when I heard from God about writing this book. I truly believe my testimony will bless readers all over the world, but it was only by God's power and presence that allowed me to write my story. This inspirational book, Living in Bondage, My Story of How God Set Me Free, is indeed about hope. This is my testimony of how God alone delivered me from crack cocaine. It offers encouragement to those needing a new cleansing, and the help of a dynamic power to overcome any struggle. In spite of all that Satan has done to me, today I'm still serving God, the one who never counted me out. He is the God of all hope, and writing this book has been a very humbling and life-changing experience. God has profoundly convicted me, and like David in the Bible, he said, create in me a clean heart. I have experienced the presence of God deeper than I ever imagined. God surrounded me with his love and wisdom, because I had an unclean heart and lacked genuine holiness. I was powerless. I was battling a rough path full of nothing but unholy actions. There are many negative actions that can become a problem if our lives keep us from reaching our goals and fulfilling our purpose, including drugs, fornication, adultery, lying, and cheating. I am thankful God gave me the opportunity to have a better life even after I chased drugs, and now I am free. I'm living with comfort that comes directly from the Lord, and he is using me to speak to others who have addictions just as I did. I realized getting high affected my thoughts, feelings, and behavior, resulting in a tremendous setback in my life. But God never counted me out, and he is using me as a vessel in this earth. I was living in bondage, but God set me free. This is my story.
Wow, that is so awesome. Wow,
thank you.
So, yes, so Carolyn, let me ask you, how did you kick crack cocaine? Did you go to Narcotics Anonymous? Was it church?
Yes.
Was it any other way? How did you actually kick the habit?
Well, after I was pronounced dead on May 1991, May 3rd, 1991, I was pronounced dead, as I read. And that right there let me know that God did not bring me this far to leave me. So knowing that, I had to make a change. The Lord, he saw me through from the beginning to the end. And during this time that I was pronounced dead and I had sudden seizures, liver, kidneys, heart attack, I had all of this. Dialysis machine, I was supposed to have been on a dialysis machine, and the Lord didn't allow me to have to go through that as well. So that right there alone made me want to get away from drugs. But Salem is busy. Even after all of that I went through, I was lying in the hospital and a drug counselor came to talk to me. And I refused his offer as ongoing my treatment because I told him I wasn't a drug addict. I just get high. Well, that was sitting right there still trying to keep a hold on me. And the drug counselor got very upset with me because he told me, you're going to be back out there. And I said, no, I'm not. But I did go back. The last time I went back, I could not cope with it. I didn't like it anymore. I took one hit, even after the Lord, a month later, after the Lord spared my life, I went back out a month later, and I took one hit. And all my peace had went out the window because I had learned to accumulate peace when I was not on drugs. All of my peace went out the window. And I, from that point on, I said, no way. This is not me anymore. I could not indulge anymore. And I immediately prepared myself for treatment. I got in touch with Cope Line during that time. It was a Cope Line where you can call and set up arrangements to go into treatment. And I went to detox here in Houston. Then I went to treatment in Arkansas. And it was a choice that I had come to, that finally came to. You know, I knew this is what I wanted. I didn't want no more drugs. I was through with that. You know, after God saved my life, I knew I was through. You know, he raised me from the dead, and I knew that my God did not save my life for me to drag and continue to mess around with that mess any longer. So that's how I came to going to treatment.
Great story. Let's talk about Carolyn Smith, the person. Where did you grow up, and what was your childhood like?
Okay, I grew up in Houston, Texas. I had a good child life. We had good parents, especially my mother. Father was good too, but we just had one of them, that strong Christian mother. And I had one brother and four sisters. It was six of us. And it was just amazing how well she would take care of each one of her children. So we had really a good life. The choices that I made later on in life, I made them. It wasn't because I didn't have the right direction. I had good direction. We went to church. We was in church 7 days a week, okay? And I wasn't just one of the top students in school because I often find myself doing what I wanted to do. And a lot of times the things that I wanted to do wasn't always best for me. So that's when you kind of get off on the wrong track, you know. And when you get older, you get off on the wrong track because you're so used to doing things a way that is not fully right. Put it like that, fully right. So that's who I am. I'm just I'm a loving person. I'm a very loving person. I've learned to treat people. My mother taught us and instilled in us. You treat people the way you want to be treated. And I learned to do that. Even during my drug addiction, I had certain morals and principles that I would not do because it was instilled in me to treat people the way you want to be treated. And you carry yourself in such a way to where people have to respect you. I don't care what you're doing. People have to respect you. And I often found myself getting away from around people that don't have that type of respect that I think I deserve, you know, because I know how to treat people. And I've always been this, even at my young age, I've always been this. And when people would take me off my program, then that would kind of make me kind of violent. You know, I wasn't a violent person, but if you done something to me, I would become violent, you know. So that's who I am today.
So when you were younger, who were your heroes when you were a kid? Who did you admire?
I admired my mother. And I had a godmother. She's still alive. My godmother, Cora Gordon, I admired her a lot as well. Ask me why I admired them. Well, my mother's lifestyle was so, I know no one is perfect but God, but she was perfect. She was almost perfect, you know. And I admire her so much until right now I try to do things accordingly to the way she would do them. I think that she would do them. And I have my godmother, I admire her so much because of her way of living her life and doing things. And when I was out on drugs, it was the way she handled me that made me respect her as a hero because she didn't have to handle me like she did, but she handled me very well because she understood that I was caught up and tangled up in the system. So those are my two heroes.
Getting back to your book, I know one of the reasons why you wrote it was to help people who were in the same boat that you were in. How was the response to the book? What did people tell you after they read it?
It was just great response. Everyone read it. Said that it was one of those books that you couldn't put down. It was a good reader. I've gotten a lot of response about how well that it will help people that are going through something. Matter of fact, I was at a play about two weeks ago, and there was a chaplain there. And he picked my book up, and he read a little of it, and he was excited about it. He wanted to get me into the prisons. Matter of fact, I'm getting ready now to go into the prisons and speak. When he looked at it, he said, this is a good book. This is a very good book, and this book will be good for the TCD system. So I'm going through my paperwork now to go in to be able to speak on my book. So I actually... Robert, I do have a good book, and that's all because God was with me from the beginning to the end when I started writing that book. So it's a good book.
With any autobiography or memoir, you not only tell your story, but also those around you. How did your family react to the book?
Great. My book signing, I had so much support from my family and friends. Everyone is just excited because of where I came from. You got people that can remember these times when I was out there. And for them to see this book and read this book, it makes their heart so happy. You know, it makes them, they're just excited. They're more excited than I am about the book because they are so proud of me because I was able to write my story. And I didn't sugarcoat it. I told the truth. And it's nonfiction. So they're not reading, my loved ones not reading the nonfiction. They're really reading the truth. And they're excited about it.
Now let's talk about publishing, because we have so many writers that listen to this show that want to know how you got published. Talk about how you got Living in Bondage published, and did you have any challenges in the publishing process?
Yes, I did, and God is good. He put the best coach writer, and I like to say this, my gratitude, I would love to extend them to my writing coach, Dr. Sylvia Coles, of Call to Writing Services. When she stepped in, there was some unforeseen things going on with a publisher company. And I don't want to talk no publisher company down, so I'm not going to say the name, you know. But this publisher, I had to end up getting my money back. I started writing 2016, and it took 2 years for my book to be published. That's why it's so behind time right now, 2018. The book wasn't published until 2019. It's because my material sat on their desk. They asked me to do this, they asked me to do that. Then they wanted me to change my name. That right there, I said, oh no, I can't use them. So,
they wanted you to change your name.
Yes. Can you believe
that? What?
This is my story. Yes, I'm telling you. They wanted me to
change my
name.
Why did they want you to change the name? Did they say why?
Because of identification purpose that will connect with others that might can identify that I'm writing about them. Okay? And they could be sued, they say. Well, anyway, I was introduced to Dr. Sylvia Cole, who stepped in. I done a remarkable job. What she did is really helped me get it published. It was published through Kindle, and my book is at Amazon. And when she got my book, it was really easy because I had the best help. Like I had editors as Cassandra Diggs. I like to take my hat off to her and my niece, Kasha Joseph. And I had people that helped put the book together, my sister-in-law, Iris Nelson, Desian Hubbard, all these people. If you're listening, let me say thank you again. These people helped me get my book put together. But Sylvia Cole is the one that stepped in to help me get it published. And we worked. And it wasn't so much work that she had to do because the book was already edited. She added a few things to make the book complete and to make the book a nice book. I think I have a nice book. She had to, like my daughter, my nieces and friends. They wrote in testimonies from it. They read the book a little bit, and then they wrote about what they read, and that was, you know, good to make the book as successful as it was. And that's about it. It's at Amazon, and Sylvia Cole is the coach, my coach, that helped put this book, to help me get this book published. because the challenges that I was going through, I had to change this, I had to change that. You notice, if you read my book, you notice that I'm not using names of places where I went to treatment, names where I worked at, names where I went to the best trauma hospital. Bentorp Hospital is the best. Well, that's where I was when I OD'd. I couldn't even use their name. I couldn't use nothing, nobody's name, you know. So it was like a challenge, but we got it done. It took her 6 months after that book sat so long on that publisher desk. When I put it in her hand, it took 6 months for her to get that book published. So, and it's in Amazon. We went through Kindle, and it's published. So if anyone having publisher challenge, they can hit me up. I give them my coach name and number because she is good.
So, Carolyn, would you call Living in Bondage a Christian book or primarily a book written by a Christian?
It's a Christian book. It's a Christian book. In my book, I speak about things that negativism that went on, but I had scriptures to back them up, you know, to back it up, to say why I'm saying this particular, why I'm saying this. I will put in certain texts from the Bible to help people to understand that the word is important. Where people get off and go wrong is the word. And that's where I went wrong, is not being in the Bible like I should. So when I wrote this book, that my mind is to write it in a spiritual way, put it to where it would people will really understand that God is God and he's God all by himself. And if you read this, what he done for me, he can do it for you. So, yes, I will say it is a spiritual book.
In closing, I have an interesting question I'd like to ask you. Carolyn, if you can have a conversation with Carolyn Smith at 20 years old, years ago, what would be the most important piece of advice you would give her?
Wow, I'm glad you asked. My important message to myself is keep your eyes on God. I didn't keep my eyes on the Lord. I knew him. I was in the choir. I was doing programs. I can put a program together. But keep your eyes on God. But I wasn't focused on God. I was working to me. I was working in a traditional way for the Lord. My problem was, it's not keeping my eyes on God. I would tell anybody, keep your eyes on the Lord. Can't go wrong. Can't go wrong. And if I'd have done that 20 years ago, I'd have been in a better position.
So if people want to get in contact with you, can you give out your address, email, or any other contact information?
I sure can. I have the email for my book. It's Carolyn Smith Book 1 at yahoo.com. My telephone number, 832-980-4905. And, of course, I'm on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter.
This has been the Author's Lab with me, Robert Batista. My mission is to give writers a platform to show you who they are. One of my short stories, My Baby Has No Name, can be read for free online at spillwords.com. My guest has been Carolyn Smith. Make sure you pick up her fantastic cautionary tale, Living in Bondage, My Story of How God Set Me Free. You can leave a comment on this show by going to blogtalkradio.com/theauthorslab. Thank you so much, Carolyn, for being my guest.
Thank you,
today.
Bonnie, for having me. Thank you.
You're welcome. It's been wonderful. Have a great rest of the day.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye now.